have your Bibles, if you'd turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, coming to the end of a year, starting a new one. You know, I didn't think, I wasn't sure that I'd ever make 2020 when Y2K came. How many of you remember that? I thought the whole world was going to come. Well, there are people who thought the world was going to end 2000 even. And now we're looking at 2020 right square in the eye. The Lord's left us here for a reason. What is it? I'll give you one word. We can shine. In my new truck, in the little, you open the door, little runner there, there is a blue kind of a writing. It says Ridgeline. And the back door, it's got the same thing. And I'm reminded that we as Christians are like those two signatures on those doors. The first signature shines. It's illuminated. So at night, you open that door and that blue light shines right up. Wow. You can see exactly what kind of truck that is. But in the back door, you open it up, it's not supposed to shine. I took it back to him and said, hey, something's wrong with this thing. This one doesn't light up. And he said, well, it's not designed that way. And I said, really? They said, yeah, it's designed to light up in the front, not in the back. Did you know the Lord did not design any of us to not light up? He designed everybody in this room to shine. Not only did he design that, he's counting on it. I'm going to give you 4 hours this morning. If you notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look, if you would, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, notice the next phrase, as we have received mercy. At first, as you've received the gift of eternal life, you receive this great treasure, the gospel in your heart. Everybody in this room that's trusted Christ as Savior, you've received the gospel. Now, notice if you would in verse 7, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What a privilege to have the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts and lives. You'll notice that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So you've been saved today that God's power would be shined through you. You wouldn't be like the back door where you have to have a light to shine on it, or you have to has to have daylight for you can see it. God intended for you to shine the brightest in the darkest place. But did you know, Brother Drew had to go to them and say, look, we'll pay extra to put that shine on it. Do you understand that God intends for you to shine? It's not extra. When you get the Holy Spirit, it's designed that he would take charge of your heart and your countenance would shine, your face would shine, your heart would shine. Everything about you would scream out, there goes a Christian. Now you've got one more year by God's grace to shine. Let your light shine, Matthew chapter 5 says. But it will not shine if first you haven't received Christ as Savior. You've got to receive his mercy. Now, mercy is God giving to us something to us that we don't deserve. And nobody in this room deserves the gift of eternal life. But it's a free gift. And you know, I like Christmas. I think it's my favorite time of year. I mean, we sat around the tree and there was the tree had all kinds of gifts around it, and we got up the Bible and read the same Christmas story, and we talked a little bit, and then went around the room and gave blessings, and gave things we're thankful for. Oh, it's such a special time. But I'm reminded that the children, when they got a gift, when I got a gift, I did not have to go back and say, how much do I owe you? And when you received the mercy of God, you don't owe him anything. The cross paid for it all. Have you received the treasure of eternal life in your heart? You can't shine without it. You're like the ridgeline in the back seat. You won't shine. It's impossible. The Spirit of God is not there. So there's no ability to shine. But nobody in this room was designed that way. You were designed to be like the front. Open the door and it screams Jesus Christ. Number two, notice if you would, we have to remove or renounce the things that hide the gospel. Look at verse 2. By the way, how many of you could find 2 California chapter 4 for my sake? How many of you could find that for me? Would you raise your hand and make me feel a little bit better? Okay, good. Thank you, Matt. We're going to support you on the mission field. That's good. I'm very thankful for that. You know, my son could be a little more gracious, you know. I mean, good night. So you'll notice, if you would, I had him skip over verse 2 because I didn't want to take as much time. We're, you know, under time constraint a little bit. And so I skipped over it, and he looked at it, and he said, Dad, is this 2 California chapter 4, 1 plus 3 equals 4? What do I read? Everybody knows 1 plus and then 3, comma, 4. You know what that means? Read verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4. And he got all confused with the mathematics. Notice verse 2, if you would. But have renounced. There it is. If you're going to shine, you've got to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty and all the things that go with it. The original word here for hidden is the word to cover up. And literally, it's the word to cover up completely. So he said, look, you've got to renounce those things. You've got to say no to those things. You've got to remove them out of your life. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Colossians, just a couple of books back. That's Colossians, so everybody will get that. Make sure there's no discrepancy there. Chapter number 3, if you would. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 8. We'll start verse number 6 just briefly. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So we are dishonoring to the Lord. We are disobeying the Lord when we allow things, when we allow this treasure in our heart to be hidden. And notice what hides it, verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. 9, lie not. So all these things cover up the gospel. Do you understand what happens? It's as though you're a Christian, but it's like you put tape over the ridgeline. You can't see it. Now, I want you to notice, take your Bible, keep your finger here, but let's go back. We'll go back to, we'll just take it right here. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Look at me, if you would, in verse number 10. Colossians 3, verse 10, I'm sorry. Just keep reading after verse 9. I stopped. And have put on the new man, which is, and here's the next R, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, the original word image here is the word icon. So he said, look, what I want you to do is I want you to be an icon for Christ. So when people click on you, when they actually focus upon you, then you light up. The gospel. You light up Christ. They see you. Anybody here ever been on your computer and you went on an icon and clicked on it and nothing happened? Well, something's wrong with the computer. Whenever people in this world look at you and I and they click on you with their eyes and nothing happens, they're not struck by the image of Christ. We're not shining. And you know what hides that? Our sin, bitterness, jealousy, disobedience. And folks, listen, you're the only one that can prevent that. He said, we have to renounce the hidden things, the things that hide the gospel. We have to renounce that. You have to look at your own heart and say, I'm not going to lie. I don't want that in my life. You've got to take the things in your life that anger, you lose your temper easily, or the filthy communication, the things that we say, and filthy is corrupt. It has no spiritual value. There's a lot of that. It doesn't mean you're out cursing or taking the Lord's name in vain. It just means there's a lot of foolish talk or talk that has no eternal value. So you and I have to be careful the words that we use. He said, look, you'll hide the gospel. All of us in this room have to be careful that we don't just take something we want to do or say or think and put tape right over the image of Christ. You won't shine. I won't shine because the Holy Spirit stops shining through us. The second sin enters our heart. We have to renounce it. Look at it and say, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want any part of that. We turn our back on it. That's the reason the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It starts what you're willing to think and not willing to think. Everybody in this room, are you willing to think good about your wife? Are you willing to think good about your husband? Are you willing to think good about the people at work that don't treat you right? He said, pray for those that despitefully use you and mistreat us. Where are the Christians that shine in the darkness? Look, we've got another year coming up. I don't know if any of us in this room, if there's going to be a funeral for any one of us. But until that happens, shine. All of us. Every young person can shine. Look, we need teenagers that shine the gospel, that shine and say, look, I want you to see Jesus in me. Where's the joy? Where's the thrill of walking right? He said, look, renounce the hidden things of darkness, the things that make us dirty, the things that the Holy Spirit says, I just can't use you. I can't shine in that heart when I see bitterness there. Now, folks, bitterness is so easy to happen. It is that something happens in our life, an event. And the word is pikros. It's the word for sharp. It's something pricks us in our heart. It's sharp. It hurts. And we won't let it go. We can't. It sticks in our heart. And then when we see that person, it just kind of frustrates us. It separates families. It separates homes. Something sticks in your heart. Pikros. It's something that hurts. And so, folks, today, if you're going to shine, you've got to take everything that hurts and bring it right down here and say, Lord Jesus, I give it to you. I want to shine. The other day, I don't think it was night before last, or not last night, I don't remember now. It was last night. I run a bunch of errands yesterday, and I always put things the same way. I hate to lose stuff, especially my keys or my wallet. And so, you know, I never have my phone on when I'm mowing the grass. And, you know, there's some leaves on the grass, so I blew it off, and I just mow over it so it wouldn't kill the grass for the winter. And I reached down, and I said, oh, my, I got my phone on. Now, that was habit, because anytime Susan needed me, she'd call. And so I always kept it on so I could feel the vibration. And that's the way, you know, I mowed my phone once. It fell over and fell out, and I saw it, and I said, that's somebody's. And I still have it in my office as a reminder. And the other day, they said, you can bring a phone in anyway and get a new phone. I'm going to take them up on that because it has been mowed. I mean, everything's mowed up. Both ends are mowed. I wonder if that's what they meant. So I save it for that day that's coming. And I said, oh, I got my phone here. So I'm concentrating on my phone. And I got my wallet and this. And I said, you know, I'm almost done. I don't want to lose anything. And so then I go out, go to the house and change clothes. Last night, couldn't find my keys. I went, oh, no. Because what I'd done is I'd taken a flashlight, and I got a flashlight, 32,000 lumens, so I can light up the whole yard. And I'm out there looking for my keys. Oh, man. Lord, please. And, you know, as we ought to do, I said, Lord, I'll never find it unless you help me. Lord, I need you. Would you help me find those keys? Now, I'd gone through every pocket in any coat that I'd worn for a week. Now, that's dumb. How many of you have ever done that? You're looking for something, and you go back and check everything, the stuff that you didn't need to check. Well, I'm checking everything. I'm looking. And probably 30 minutes to an hour, I'm looking for it. I'm panicked. And I take my flashlight outside, and I go looking around all over the place. And then I took that flashlight, and I said, man, I put it in my pocket, and it completely went dark. And then it hit me as this message. That's what I do when I let one sin stick in my heart. I go dark. I had to pull it out for it to shine. I had on some flannel sweats and I stuck that back in there, and man, it was just dark. You know what I couldn't find? I couldn't find any keys with it dark. And people can't find Christ when you go dark. Look, if you would, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at what it says in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to the people that need the gospel. They need the light, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. How has he done that? He's turned the light off with Christians. We've lost our joy. We've lost our sweetness. We've lost our privilege of being a child of God. We've taken things for granted. We've become entitled. I mean, we come to church to be entertained and not to worship the Lord. Folks, listen, that's a common thing. We come to church to be entertained or to feel good when we leave. Look, you come to church between you and the God of heaven and say, Lord, it's me. I need you this morning. Well, that's what we come to church for. Folks, this is just a place to meet the Lord. It doesn't matter if the benches are like in Africa where they're all wood, hard wood. It doesn't matter if they're padded. Did you come to meet the Lord? That's the way we get rid of all of our little sharp places in our heart. Lord, help me to shine. Lord, I'm coming to worship you. What is your reason for living? Is it to shine? Or is it to pad your 401k? There's nothing wrong with padding your 401k. There's nothing wrong with being a good employee. It's right. But as you go up the ladder of things that are important to you, the one on the very top is, Lord, I want to shine for you. Are you shining today? Do people at work notice a difference in you? If you're shining, it is so obvious from the front seat to the back seat in my truck. It's the difference between daylight and dark. One's got a light under it, and it shines through that blue label. If the Holy Spirit's in your heart, you've received Christ as Savior, and you've renounced all the things of this world, and you've tried to renew your life in Christ. Now, Lord, now, look, there's two parts. I'm going to renounce it. I want to get rid of sin. I don't want any sin in my life. Let me ask you this. What sin are you willing to tolerate? Just a few feelings. Look, he didn't do me right. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm right and he's wrong. And we tolerate it. And it's a sharp point and it's stuck. And the light goes out. You have to remove it. You have to come to this altar, get up beside your bed and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't want to hide this great treasure you've given to me. Folks, every Christian in this room has got to renounce sin. You can't put up with one sin in your life and say, Lord, I give them all up but this one. It's this. Nothing in my hand. Folks, it's coming up to a new year. You've got a chance to make an eternal difference. Shine. Shine with the joy of the Lord in your heart. Make up a prayer list. Write our missionaries. Look, purpose. Lord, I want to make a difference for you this year. I want people to see Christ in me. I want my icon to be yours. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 4. We'll finish reading the verse. And let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So what is the light of the gospel? It's the image of Christ. It's when you look like Christ. It's when you act like Christ. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 18. He says this, look at what he says. But we all with open face, as in a glass, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, as we take the word of God as an open glass and looked it, and we are beholding the God of heaven through the scriptures. He said, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. You cannot be changed in the image of Christ. You can renounce all the sin, but you've got to put on the gospel. You've got to put on the new man. You've got to put on sweetness and joy. Folks, we've got to grow this year. Everybody in this room, what are your dreams and goals this year? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee all the desires of thine heart. What are your spiritual desires? Do you want to shine this year? Folks, that's the only reason we're here. Is to shine. It's to be an icon for Christ. Every wife in this room, be an icon for Christ. So when your husband sees you, he sees Christ. So when your wife sees you, she sees Christ. Young people, there are parents that have been saved because young people were an icon for Christ. How many of you know what the Nike swoosh looks like? That little thing. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now look here. Wait, raise your hand. Raise your hand. How many of you know what the Nike swoosh is? Raise your hand. Let me see it up. Okay. Well, look at all the hands. That one little thing, and everybody knows what that is. That's Nike company. It's a clothing and apparel company. Well, you know what the image of Christ is? That's Jesus. It ought to be that we as God's children, by the way we talk, the sweetness of our lips, the pleasantness of our spirit, the joy of our hearts. Hey, look, we're on our way to heaven. Look, you're going to miss hell. You've been given mercy. You've been granted grace. You've been given mercy from hell and granted grace to heaven. You and I are rich today, but we don't shine because we have not refused and rejected and renounced all the things that get in our lives and cause us hurt, and we haven't rejected the things of anger and bitterness and lustfulness and covetousness. I want this and I want that. And we don't say, Lord, here, look, you can pray for anything that's not specifically forbidden in Scripture. Now, you can't pray to be a good liar. You can't pray to be a good covetous person, to have a lot of stuff. But you can pray, Lord, would you bless me? And Lord, however you want to do that, I'm good with it. Everybody can pray that. And God's got a bigger shovel than you and I've got. You give him your heart and he pours out blessings in your life. And yet so many Christians, I think when we get to heaven, now, you know, when we got done with Christmas, I looked around the Christmas tree and it was empty. I mean, there was paper torn and boxes torn all around. As you know, all the kids, he's got stuff all over the place. And I even noticed Malachi with a box on his head, buy him all the gifts. He's got a box on his head having a good time. You know, you just notice that. The box is more interesting than the gifts sometimes. And so you look at it, I see it all around. And I looked around the tree, completely empty. I wonder when we step foot inside heaven, if the Lord Jesus is going to take us over and say, Dave Pittman, in Malachi, I said, prove me now. Now, it's not just money. Prove me now herewith. Find out, open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. I wonder how many packages and blessings I've left in heaven in the last year because of stuff that stuck. I pray, Lord, every day, help me to clean up my heart. And every day, help me to add something to my life that causes the image of Christ to be more glowing. That's why you're here, folks, to shine. Are you shining? You know, every once in a while I'd say to Susan, honey, you see anything in my life that I could change? I want to be more like Christ. And as a good wife, she would always say, no, you're perfect. I miss that. No, you're perfect. Lie. I said, honey, you need to get on the altar and go down and tell you, Lord, I'm sorry. Do you understand that you and I have to, from time to time, you know, Holy Spirit, do you see anything in my life? Now, I try to do that every day. How many of you would like to have a day, one day, where the headlights on your car didn't work? You have to drive at night. How many of you heard of the 69 car pilot? Okay. Now, that was amazing to me. Cars on top of cars. And you know all that happened? They just couldn't see. The fog came in, and it came in so quickly, they couldn't stop, and it was bang, 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 and they just piled all up. Do you know that happens a lot in Christians' lives? Sin gets in, and they get all piled up, and everything's wrecked in their life. There has to come a point in your life where you back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. Will you forgive me? But I want it out of my life. And then you have to turn to him and say, Lord, I want you to add the things in my life that make me sweet and like you want me to be. I want to be in your image. I want when people see me, they see you. Is that the way you are today? Now, number one, you've received mercy. Number two, you have to renounce the hidden things that cover up the gospel. Number three, you've got to renew your life in the image of Christ. You can't just have self-reform. You have a pattern that you're trying to accomplish. You know, years ago, Susan loved quilts. And so I remember she said, honey, I'd like to have a quilt rack. And so I don't have a pattern. And, you know, she said, well, make one. So, you know, went and looked at a couple things and you know, I don't know if I can do that. And then I said, look, how about if I just make, I saw another thing, a bow shelf. I saw some bows out of wood. And I said, I bought that. I can make that because it got a pattern. And she said, okay, then make me a bow shelf. How many remember the bow shelves? I remember the bow shelves, okay? Because I had a pattern. Look, I couldn't create that. Now, somebody else did. But I can't create the icon of Christ. He's already done that. But I have to follow it. And so I would take that pattern and lay it on a piece of wood and take a pencil and outline it and then take a jigsaw and go all the way around it and take my time and then sand it and router it and put it all together, screw it together. And I look at it and I say, wow, you know, that turned out good. Oh, it's just like that pattern. There's some men in this room. Your sons need a pattern. There's some ladies in this room, young ladies. They need a pattern. There's some teenagers that need a pattern of other teenagers. You're not here just to be a goofball and have a good time all this, your teenage years. You're to shine. There's nobody in this room that God didn't intend to give you mercy and you receive it. And didn't intend for you to renounce sin and didn't intend for you to renew your life in the exact pattern of Jesus Christ. He was always truthful. He was always honest. He was always righteous. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know what? We can look at it and say, well, you know, Pastor, that's good. That's good for some of these other guys. But you know, I've got things I want to do. I want you to notice the last R. Look at me, if you would. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. For God who, and what's the next word? Commanded. He's required the light to shine out of darkness. So you and I don't get the option to say, well, I don't want to shine today. I don't want to have a good spirit today. How many of you ever got up on the wrong side of the bed and said, you know, I just don't want to be happy this morning? Don't raise your hand. I just don't want to be nice today. I'm just upset. Did you know this? God's children don't get that privilege. Only Satan's children do. It is required. Now read it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Now watch. He shined in our hearts. The Holy Spirit shines in our heart. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so we can shine back and Jesus is proud of us. There's your reason for living. Are you shining this morning? Verse 7, but we have this treasure, the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life, the gospel of Christ in earthen vessels. Everybody in this room, you're a vessel for the Spirit of God. Now you have to decide, do I want to be like the back seat, Ridgeline, or the front seat? Wow, I can see that. It's a choice. But thankfully, there's nobody in this room that's received Christ that God says, oh, I didn't intend for you to shine. He's required us to shine. Every one of us. By letting the light of Christ shine in our hearts and us reflect Christ. That's the icon. Notice, if you would, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it's not like you and I get the privilege of saying, I just want myself to do what I want to do. And it's that you and I look at it and say, I want to shine for your glory, Lord. I want you to be pleased with me. I want to honor you with my life. I want you to know that I love you. Now, take just a minute this morning. How many of you would like to have a heart that shines? Well, there's only one person that can make it shine. The Lord Jesus has already got the light shining in your heart. But you have to renounce sin, renew your life in His image, and realize it's required. Will you obey this morning? Will you shine? It's your choice. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Where are the shining Christians? Look, you got a new year. Folks, you got another year to serve the Lord. I want you to understand something today. There's an opportunity of a lifetime you have in front of you to shine for Christ. Will you decide to do it? Every husband, every man, every woman, every one of us, will you decide to shine for Christ? It's your choice. The Lord gave you that freedom, that liberty. The liberty of Christ is, will you serve me or will you not? I need you to shine. It's the only way the gospel gets out. He said, look, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. Folks, if you were lost this morning, would you want a Christian to be a great Christian so you could see the pattern of Christ? Sure you would. We're going to have a word of prayer. Could I get you to do something? Could I get you to forget everybody else is in the room? And if the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you say, Lord, 2020, I want to shine. Would you help me? I want you to get out of your seat and you come to this altar and say, Lord, I commit 2020 to you. As a husband, as a wife, as a Christian, as an employee, as an employer, I give you 2020. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts this morning. In your name I pray. Amen.